Well, it's a very good morning from me, John Fradgley, with you for the next 30 minutes on 4CRB for our program, The Law and You. It's your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9.30. That's 10.30 Tweed Coast time. All we need you to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. The number is 55208888. That's 55208888. South of the Tweed River, 07 in front of the number. And don't forget our email address, talkback@4crb.com. If you're not able to get to the phone and make a call during the program today. Thank you to all those people who called in last week. Certainly an interesting program, and that's what it's all about. It's all about your calls. At the moment, we don't have any calls online, so if you want to be the first caller for The Law and You this morning, ring us right now, 55208888. But while we're waiting for some calls to come in, it may give me an opportunity to talk about a few things that I've been trying to address over the last few weeks. One of them is that there have been some changes to the insolvency laws in Australia as a result, obviously, of what's occurred during the last 12 months. And the important changes are there are now new options available for debt restructuring so small businesses can continue to weather the COVID storm. And so companies can now restructure debt more easily while the directors or the owners of the business maintain control. And obviously that's a good thing. It will be an opportunity to help owners assess debts to negotiate an easier payback plan. Small business restructuring can occur and a practitioner in that area can liaise with creditors about delayed or reduced payments and also working with the ATO to negotiate payment plans that give clients breathing space to rebuild. So they're obviously very important. The other one is a more streamlined position or process in relation to winding up. So if you really find that there is no option but to close your business down, then there will be a more straightforward way to wind up a business, a company with lower costs. And this will obviously be a big saving to the business. It'll certainly be a faster process and there'll be more certainty in the process, giving clients the assurance that the simplified process is going to be relatively painless. So certainly something to keep in mind if you or someone you know is going through difficulties with their business as a result of the difficulties over the last 12 months, it would certainly give them an opportunity to do something about that. But don't forget the purpose of the program. It's your calls, 55208888. Our lines are still free, so if you have a question or a query, you can be our very first caller for this morning on 55208888. I have also been running through some articles that have been produced by the estate litigation team at Bell Legal Group recently, and one interesting one that my colleague Janine O'Brien has recently authored is an article on statutory wills and exactly what a statutory will is. And as you would well know, that for a person to be able to make, alter or revoke a will, they must have testamentary capacity, and that's obviously the ability to understand the nature and effect of the document, to have an understanding of what their assets are, and to have an understanding of who should reasonably benefit under their will. But if a person lacks capacity, whether because of accident, illness, or simply old age, it might be dementia, the Succession Act in Queensland and in other jurisdictions in Australia and some other jurisdictions provides authority for the Supreme Court to make a will for a person who's lacking in capacity if the court determines that the will proposed expresses the intentions of the person who no longer has capacity. And that authority is not just limited to making a will, it also extends to the ability of the Supreme Court to amend or revoke an existing will to prevent unjust outcomes from occurring. So if there have been changes in a person's financial or family circumstances, if there is a need to change the beneficial entitlements under an existing will, to avoid an intestacy or to deal with problems with an existing will. So those opportunities are available. I remember reading a case some time ago where an existing will was actually amended by the court to introduce testamentary discretionary trusts into the will in place of straight-out bequests to the beneficiaries, because the court was satisfied that if the testator had capacity and knowing the circumstances that existed at the time, the testator would have put in place those provisions for testamentary discretionary trust for the beneficiaries rather than leaving the bequests outright. But enough of that. We've got our first caller online for this morning, as we say good morning to Tricia. Good morning, Tricia. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you, John.
That's good. How can we help?
A fencing problem seems to be a standard thing amongst house owners.
It seems to be.
We are a homeowner out at Parkwood, mm-hmm. and we have a rental property next door, mm-hmm. and apparently our side fence fell towards the neighbours, fell over in all the rain last week. Mm-hmm. The tenants didn't tell us, and because I hadn't been down the sideway over the wet week. Mm-hmm. We discovered it on Saturday. I rang the agent that manages the property, advising them there was an urgent matter. Could they please ring me back? Mm. I had no phone call back, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I rang and got on to someone yesterday afternoon who told me they didn't have to deal with me. Mm. I was not the owner of the property.
Right.
No, you cannot have the owner's phone number. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, we need to deal with this matter. You've known about it for the best part of a week. Mm. It is now a matter of urgency. Mm. And even though my husband has propped it up, I don't like its chances in the storms this afternoon. Mm. How do we go about actually finding out the contact details of the owner?
Look, I'm not sure whether if you... certainly if you did a title search, that will give you the name of the owner, and from that you might be able to... do a general search to find out. The other possibility would be the Gold Coast City Council, although I suspect they may not give you the details of the adjoining owner because of privacy issues. But that could be a possibility if you were to ring the council and explain that this is what's occurred and you need that the agent's refusing to give you the details and you need to contact the owner urgently. What I would be suggesting you do is get quotes immediately for the repair.
Yes.
So the agent that you contact, they're the letting agent, are they?
Yes, and if you do, if you go in, we had an agent friend look it up, that as the owner of a rental property, the lease address goes to the real estate agent, not their actual address.
Yes. So the other thing that you could do at the very least would be to serve the notice under the legislation on the agent. You can certainly find out the name of the owner without doubt by doing a title search. But as I say, it won't give you their address. It'll simply say...
No, we found out their name, but we can't find out how to actually contact them directly.
Right. Okay. Have you tried doing a White Pages search online?
No, I haven't. Mm. Most people now, I think they run on mobile.
Well,
don't
pretty, yeah, you're quite right. I mean, it's White Pages for finding addresses is becoming less and less likely. But I would try the Gold Coast City Council in the first instance to see if they are prepared to assist. And if not, then what I would do is I would serve the notice to fence on the agent. Because they are obliged to bring it to the attention of the owner. They're probably not going to respond, unfortunately you're going to have to do is bring an application before QCAT.
All this takes so much time.
I know, that is the real problem, and I'm not aware that there is any fast way of getting to that point. So, and certainly not at the moment, I'm not anyway, Tricia. So the only other thing I could suggest you do might also be to ring the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau.
Okay.
If you've got a pen handy, I can give you their number.
Yes, I have.
Okay, so it's 553-329-611.
611.
Yes, so 55 32 9611. Give them a call and they may be able to, you can explain the situation to them. They can then go away and do a little bit of research on it and come back and give you some advice over the phone, or alternatively, you might be able to make an appointment to go in and see them.
If we need a temporary fencing put up in the interim, do they have to pay half of that?
Look, I honestly can't tell you the answer. When you say temporary fencing, are you talking about putting up one of those like they put around a construction site?
Yes, yes.
Right, because there's the problem that there's a drop from one property to the other?
Yes.
Okay, so what, there's a drop from your property to the next door property?
At least a metre.
Yes, okay, all right. Look, I honestly can't tell you the answer to that question, Tricia. I would suggest that you could ask because that would probably be contained within the legislation.
Okay.
So, but I would suggest that you give them a call because there very well may be under the legislation provision for urgent action to be taken, and that's what you're really looking for.
Yeah, well, no, I rang the Gold Coast City Council last year because I knew the fence was not in good shape.
Mm.
They could not help me at all with any advice or details.
Oh, they won't help you with any advice. The only thing I thought they might be able to provide is details of the address of the owner.
And all the agent would say 12 months ago was, the owner doesn't wish to re-fence. But now they don't have an option.
No, no, that's right.
Well, I'll go with what you've suggested.
Yes, I think that's the best idea. And if you, I would suggest if they can provide you with a bit more advice. If you have any difficulty at all, with getting any advice from the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre, by all means give me a call at the office and I'll have one of the young lawyers in the office look up the relevant legislation so we can provide a bit more advice.
Can you give your number on there?
Yep, so it's 5597 3366.
3366. I want you on another matter later on anyway. Thanks, John.
Okay,
I really
Tricia,
appreciate it.
All the
Thank
very
you.
Best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 17 minutes or just past 17 minutes past 9. That's past 10 on the Tweed. Very slow morning with the calls this morning. So if you have a question or a query, get on that telephone straight away. 5520888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Are damaged or collapsed rollers making your sliding glass or security door difficult or dangerous to use? Worn rollers can permanently damage the track. If you would like your doors sliding properly and safely again, call our station sponsor Easy Slide on 5522 8373. Easy Slide cover the Tweed and Gold Coasts, and if they can't fix your sliding door, they're visitors free, guaranteed. Call Easy Slide, that's EZI Slide, on 5522 8373.
And this is The Law and You on 4CRB. Our telephone number, 5520888. I'm getting confused giving out phone numbers on air. I'm not normally used to giving out the number for our office. So 5520888 is the number you need to be calling. No calls online at the moment, so if you have a question or a query, you can get straight through. Before our call from Tricia, I was talking about statutory wills and the usefulness of statutory wills. And they are also useful and can be made for a child who's actually under 18 years of age, as long as the child can understand the nature and effect of a will and is capable of being able to express their wishes in relation to the will. And this can often be desirable, for example, where a child's received a large amount from a personal injuries claim or through an inheritance. And so that's quite a useful way of getting around a problem where there may be health problems for a minor and people are worried that they're going to pass away without a will, and obviously then the issue would be dealt with under the rules of intestacy. So the application needs to be made to the Supreme Court, and the court must be satisfied the person making the application is an appropriate person, considering their relationship to the applicant, where the person is lacking capacity. And this can include, amongst others, a family member who has a relationship with and is interested in the welfare of the person. It can be the enduring power of attorney for a person or the administrator of their affairs who's been appointed by the Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal for that person, or it can even be a close friend of that person. So certainly quite useful opportunities there, or a wide range of people who can bring that application. But we'll say hello to our next caller as we say good morning to Doug. Doug, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, good day, Doug. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
That's good. How can we help?
I'm a bit concerned. My son is talking about buying a house with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know what the difference is between tenancies in common and what's the other one?
Joint tenants.
Joint tenants, yeah.
Yes. Right, okay. So if you buy a property as joint tenants, that's normally the way a husband and wife would buy a property. And there I'm talking about in a first marriage.
Yep.
So first marriage for both of them. So you would buy as joint tenants. And in that way, or with that form of ownership, the property will automatically go to the surviving joint owner of the property. So if either of them pass away, it automatically goes to the survivor and it is not dealt with through their estate. So
it doesn't
depend on what the terms of their will are. The property will automatically go to the surviving joint owner. The other alternative is tenancy in common. Now, tenancy in common has a number of options in it. It can mean that you can own a property in uneven shares. So if there's a financial contribution being made by one party, which is the predominant share of the property, then you can, for example, own a property in the shares of 90 one-hundredths and 10 one-hundredths, or any other option you like. Or you can own the property as tenants in common in equal shares if you make an equal contribution. Now, the advantage of tenancy in common is that you can leave your interest in that property under your will to whomever you please. And so it means that unlike joint tenancy where the ownership automatically falls to the surviving joint owner, with tenancy in common that doesn't happen and you can leave it under your will. So, go on.
Sorry to interrupt, but
no,
what happens if they're together for a couple of years, they buy the house and then they decide to split?
Right. Well, if they own as joint tenants, then if they're together for a couple of years, they may end up being deemed to be in a de facto relationship. And so, therefore, there may be issues come into play there for property settlement. If they're together for a period of less than 2 years and there's no child born of the relationship whilst they're together or conceived while they're together, then it would be a question of what contribution each party made and how that was documented. So if your son, for example, puts in the majority of the money but doesn't document the fact that part of that money is a loan to his partner, then it very well may be that they walk away taking 50% each of whatever the net proceeds are. Presumably they've got a loan, so the loan has to be paid out first and the net proceeds would be divided. If they agree and document in writing that they've each made a contribution, then that will obviously be adhered to. So if I would be suggesting that the better option would be tenancy in common. And if your son is putting in a larger share, then but they want to own it in equal shares, then there should be an acknowledgement of debt by the his partner that he's put in the greater share. He will at least get that share of the money back. But the only problem is that if the property goes up in value wildly, then any increase in the value of the property will be split according to the proportions in which it's owned.
Right. Thank you very much.
All right, then.
For that.
I hope that explains the situation and best of luck.
Yeah, thanks for your very, very much appreciated help, and you're doing a great job on here. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Doug. All the best. Time on 4CRB is just rolling along, just coming up to 25 minutes past 9. That's past 10 on the Tweed. The Law and You is the program, 5520888, that number. Give us a call right now. You will possibly be our last caller for the day because, unfortunately, we're quickly coming up to the local news at 9:30. Now, I was talking about statutory wills before, just as part of that process, the application will be served on all persons who have an interest in the matter. So that includes people who might benefit under any existing will the person has, as well as anyone who might benefit if the person died without a will. So in other words, they died intestate and their estate was going to be distributed according to the rules of intestacy, so that everyone gets a fair hearing in relation to those proceedings. Now, if you require further advice in relation to statutory wills, I would suggest that you can contact the estate litigation team at Bell Legal Group, 5597 3366, that number I gave before, or their email address, law@belllegal.com.au, if you want to get more advice about this. But as I say, certainly a very interesting area. I've read a few decisions with statutory wills since the legislation was introduced, and in some cases, the court has upheld the application for the statutory will. In others, they've been declined. So it's not a lay-down misère that the application will always be successful. But we have one final caller for the day, as we say, a very good morning to Ross. G'day, Ross. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for taking my call, John.
No trouble at all.
I'm ringing up on behalf of my daughter who lost her husband last year, leaving three young children. The house is in both names, and she will be able to pay a lot of it off with the insurance from him. But what happens if she needs to get a loan? She's going to need to be able to have that house in her own name. What does she do about that?
So was this a first marriage for her and her husband?
Yes.
Okay, so I would assume that the house is owned as joint tenants?
Yes.
Right. If it's joint tenants, Roz, it's a very simple process. You need a copy of the death certificate, and then you need to make an application to the titles office to record the death of the deceased partner. And that is an application to record death, supported by an affidavit or a statutory declaration by the surviving joint tenant, annexing a copy of the death certificate, and the property will then automatically be changed over into her name. Now, the cost on that application, I think from memory there's a reduced fee, but it's certainly less than around $190. I've got it in the back of my mind that the fee for an application to record death is less than the normal titles office fee. So, as I say, it's a relatively simple process. That will get the house in her name. If there's an existing mortgage on it, presumably she'll be negotiating with the bank to repay some of that debt, all or some of it, that will certainly make the process a lot easier for her going forward in terms of dealing with the bank.
Okay, and how does she contact the titles office? Is that online or
The titles office, which suburb of the Gold Coast does she live?
The Northern Coomera.
Okay, right, because the titles office has an office at Robina.
That's okay.
So as long as she could get down to the Robina Town Centre, she'd be able to go there. The titles office is located in one of the buildings to the west of the Robina Town Centre, but it's on the same street that bounds the western boundary of the Robina Town Centre. So if you just take a look in the online, I'm sure you'd be able to find the address without too much trouble.
Find it anyway. No, that's fine. Thank you so much for your help, John. Appreciate
Okay then, Roz, all the very best. Well, that's probably about all the time we have today. I was hoping to have a bit of a chat about promises that are made to people for caring, promises made that, look, if you care for me, I'll leave you money in my will. If you come and live with me and care for me. I'll leave my house to you. I'll give you my house. And when those promises all go wrong, but unfortunately we don't have enough time today, so I'll carry that topic over to next week, and I'll look forward to sharing some of the stories in that area with you next week. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning. I'll look forward to being back with you again next week when we can share more of the law and you. But until then, it's goodbye and God bless.